Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information about our ministries, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And a very warm welcome to you all today to St. George's Church, part of the parish of Calvary St. George's, on this Easter Sunday. I always like to kick off my Easter Sunday sermon with a little bit of humor. And I do that because there's a Christian tradition of it going back to the very earliest of the church. It was called the Holy Laughter. And the tradition was is that as Jesus left hell from harrowing it, he laughed at the devil, laughed at his face, because it was almost a joke that by Jesus' death, he destroyed death. And through that, all of us have eternal life. And so in the early church, they would always tell jokes during the sermon. And then everybody would show up with their best joke for the coffee hour. But unfortunately for you, as I get older, I tend to have a penchant for dad jokes. And so they tend to be a little taggy. And so, but anyway, so you'll have to endure with me and pretend to laugh at the devil with me. So, because I think this joke is hilarious. So anyway, the joke goes, there's this Episcopalian and he's driving around the church parking lot on Easter Sunday trying to find a space, to absolutely no avail. Desperate, he prays to God, Lord, if you help me find a parking spot, I promise I will go to church every Sunday. And Lord, I promise I will even give up drinking Chardonnay. And if you know anything about suburban Episcopalians, that's a big deal. So, you know, I'm going to give up drinking Chardonnay. Well, immediately when he said that, this car pulls out and a lot opens up, to which the Episcopalian said, never mind, Lord, I found one. So, now, I thought that was good. So, but anyway, What I want to do on this Easter Sunday is share with you the key to really understanding the gospel so that we can always laugh at the devil and at death. The key to understanding why an empty tomb is such a big deal to us as Christians. Because what Easter ultimately means for you and I is the end of all bartering with God. And the gift to enjoy God's perfect care, no matter what the world or the devil throws at us. Now you need to remember, on that first Easter morning, there were no hymns of triumph. There were no shouts of hallelujah. There were no peeps or jelly beans or ringing of the bells. On that first Easter Sunday, when those women went to that tomb, there was nothing but dread and disappointment. Jesus, the man who 1 week earlier and was declared by the crowds the son of David, the Messiah, and rode in victoriously into Jerusalem to Palm Fair, within a week was found guilty by the religious authorities, tried by the Romans, and crucified before everyone's eyes. Jesus, for 3.5 years, had given these disciples their very identity. And so many of them, especially the women, their dignity. And so when his body was placed in that tomb, when that stone was rolled in front of it, and to put the cherry on top, when the Romans put a seal over that stone, it reminded all of them, just in case they had forgotten, death is the rule. Death is the final word. And that's terrifying. I don't care what atheists say today about going into the ground and being worm food. You meet them, and they get, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And as a result, it's terrifying to every society. But in our society, we love to avoid death. You think about the development of the American neighborhood and the shift. The original front room, the name of your front room, was called the parlor. And that's where the body was placed when someone close to you died for people to greet. And as the funeral industry began to take over and we began to avoid death a little more, we changed it to the living room. Notice we don't say the person died anymore. We say they passed away. And now we say they passed. And pretty soon we'll just say they packed. We want to avoid it. We're afraid of it. Our artists in residence, Sea Dog Theater, currently are performing this play called Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. And if you haven't been to it yet, it's got two more weeks or three more weeks. I want to say run, don't walk. It's so good. But what it's all about is that great sportscaster, Mitch Albom, connecting with his old mentor, Maury Schwartz, who's dying of ALS. And in the play, Maury powerfully describes our avoidance of death this way. He says this, "It's what everyone worries about, isn't it? What if today were my last day on earth? The culture doesn't encourage you to think about such things until you're about to die, because we're so wrapped up with egotistical things like career, family, having enough money, meeting the mortgage, getting a new car, fixing the radiator when it breaks. We're all involved in trillions of little acts just to keep going." This is my first point. Every culture, but I want to speak specifically to ours. There's an avoidance of death. And as Maury Schwartz points out, we get so wrapped up in trillions of little acts to avoid the reality of death. Because it's a universal experience. And because it's a universal experience, what death reveals, what death exposes, is our fragility as human beings. It reveals a sadness in life that something is not right. Death uncovers our deepest vulnerabilities. But here's the key. Understanding that truth, not avoiding it, but understanding that truth is the beginning of understanding the meaning and the power of the gospel and the power of Easter Sunday. In his memoir, German theologian Paul Tillich talks about how growing up, he led what was described as a pampered and trouble-free life as a young man. Then World War I broke out, and Tillich was called up to serve in his battalion, to which he enthusiastically and romantically joined. However, 3/4 of his battalion were killed in the course of that war. Emotionally cold and apathetic, during a period of leave, he went to a museum in Berlin. And in an upper room on a rainy day, he came across Sandro Bocelli's Madonna and Child with 8 singing angels. And he wrote in his memoir, very powerfully, on meeting the wise, fragile, compassionate gaze of the Virgin, I began to surprisingly sob. I experienced at that moment revelatory ecstasy, tears welling up in my eyes at the distinction between the exceptionally tender atmosphere of the painting and the barbarous lessons I had learned in the trenches. We've all learned lessons in the trenches called life. And for some of us, it's hardened us. And it's my prayer today that the Holy Spirit would begin to put us back in touch with the tenderness of the human experience, the tenderness of the human heart. Because this is my second point. In dialogue with our fragility, it is in being in touch with our sadness and experiencing the vulnerability of life that the joy of Easter, the reality of Jesus' empty tomb, can begin to speak to us. We begin to understand its eternal value and significance. Because Christ's empty tomb, Christ risen from the dead for you, declares to our fragility. The gospel declares to our sadness The gospel declares to your vulnerability that our greatest enemy, death, is not the final word. One has broken the mold, and it now lies defeated and conquered once and for all. So what does Jesus' empty tomb, what does Easter actually mean for you here today? Well, Maury Schwartz tells another great truth in that play. He says, once you learn to die, you learn how to really live. That is a Christian truth. We're not living to die. We are dying to truly live. My friend, Old Testament theologian Chad Bird, in an essay entitled, Your Future is Behind You, articulates that in the language of the Old Testament, the future is behind you and the past is in front of you. We have it the opposite. But in the Old Testament thinking, the past is in front of you and the future is behind you. And Dr. Bird writes, the reason for this is simple as it is insightful. We've seen the past, but we have not seen the future. We know what has happened. It is done, finished, and laid bare before our eyes. Thus, the past is in front of us, where our eyes can see it. On the other hand, no one knows what the future holds. We cannot see it. Thus, it is hidden from our eyes, or behind us. Therefore, in the Hebrew conception of time, one might say that we are always walking backwards into the future. End quote. And so what the empty tomb, what Easter lays before you is that your ultimate fear, your past, is taken care of. Death, your death, is taken care of. And it will not have the final say. For in front of us today is the cross, that bloody beam by which God has already defeated death and the death you will face. What is laid before us today is an empty tomb, which has made sin, death, and the devil ultimately a joke. And because it's so easy to forget, God lays before you today tokens to remind us of Christ's victory over death. As we'll say in a moment, remember your baptism. Remember the baptismal waters poured on your head, which reminds you that you already have been buried with Christ. Remember as you come forward and receive the bread that is his body and the wine that is his blood. Remember and be assured that all Christ has done is all that you need. There's no need to barter for Chardonnay anymore. But this is my third point, and I'll wrap up with this. As each of us, as you move backwards into the future, remember what is before you. I remember when I was 9, my friends and I had a running backwards race. And I was winning, and then I hit a truck. Thank you for laughing. I hurt myself. But I shared that because that's how life actually is. That's how life actually is. And as you move backwards into the future, and you bump into all sorts of things, and all sorts of things bump into you, and you get hurt, and you think that it is the end, remember Christ has died for you. Christ is risen for you, and Christ is coming again for you. And because he has been raised from the dead, you too will be raised from the dead into everlasting life. And that gospel truth, the meaning of Easter, speaking to your vulnerability, speaking to your fears, speaking to your sadness, is the basis for our confidence by which we begin to truly live, and laughing all the way, because what is before us is the fact that death no longer has the final say. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ does. And to your fearful and burdened hearts, He declares to you, "Have no fear, little flock, for it is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom." Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of our parish, we would really appreciate it. You can make a one-time or recurring gift by going to calvarystgeorges.org/give. Thank you for your support.